Councillors, if we can just have your attention, please. We just want to address an issue with the minute pads, so I'm going to pass you over to Eileen before we begin.
Councillors, some of you would have been attending a focus session this afternoon with Team Solutions from MinutePad. What they asked us to do at the council meeting tonight was, if anybody experiences any problems with their MinutePad, that they would just jot down the notice that the time that this occurs at and the nature of the problem, and if you pass that up to us at the end, they're going to track what's happening during the meeting to see what the problems may be, if any. But if you jot down the time and the exact type of problem that you have, that would be useful in trying to fix the situation for you.
Okay, thank you, councillors, for your attention. Apologies, I'm running ever slightly so late this evening. Can we have apologies, please, to begin with? Any apologies to note?
Councillor Hyland, Chairman.
Councillor Hyland.
Councillor Stevie Burns.
Councillor Stevie Burns.
Councillor Carr.
Councillor Carr.
Councillor Devlin.
And Liam Hannaway, Chief Executive, and Councillor Devlin. Okay, is that everyone then? Okay, councillors, any declarations of interest to note? Apologies for Robert Burgess also. Okay, no declarations of interest. Okay, moving on then, councillors, if we can move on to item number 3, the action sheet from the council meeting held on the 5th of October 2015. And if you can go through the action sheet there for accuracy, we'll take you through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Can I have a proposer and seconder,
sorry,
please, for the action
sheet? Sorry, I thought is that the action sheet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, apologies. I've extended it ever so slightly, Councillor McGrath.
Yeah.
By a couple of pages. Sorry, pages 1 and 2.
And 3. Somebody
propose
and second, Chair.
Proposer and second, proposed by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Hama. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, on to item number 4 then, the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of October. Again, we'll go through them for accuracy and I'll try my best to get it correct this time. Okay, so page by page, councillors. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Any matters of interest?
Yeah, Chair, just it's a matter of accuracy on the final page there. It's just the difference between the two. There was a notice of motion from Councillor Enright, and then there was the conversation that we had as a council, and then the vote that we took in terms of the amendment that I made. The amendment that I made changed just one word, but whenever you go down to the what was agreed underneath, it's quite substantially longer than the and more changes to it than just the one word, and I think it does change the spirit of the motion, and I would maybe think that we should revert the if Councillor Enright would agree that night I'd said that instead of using the word committee, we would change it to the word forum, and then from there we would have the conversation.
That's
so
been agreed by Councillor Enright, so happy to proceed. Okay, so can I have a proposer and seconder, please, for those minutes? Proposed by Councillor Dorn, seconded by Councillor Craig. Thank you, councillors. On to item number 5, then, the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 28th of September. Again, we'll go through for accuracy page by page, and then I'll be looking for a proposer and seconder. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. Any matters arising? No. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hardy. Seconded by Councillor Hannah. Yes. Harvey. Apologies. Baby brain, Councillor Harvey, I apologise. Okay, on to item number 6 then, the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 26th of October. So, again, for accuracy, page by page. Page number 1, page number 2, page number 3. Matters arising, Councillor Kern, are you looking in?
Just at the very end, a correct accuracy first, then.
Okay.
I want to make a comment, please.
Matters arising, then. Councillor McGrath?
Chair, it's actually a matter of accuracy. Chair, on the agreed element, the second one that was agreed, it says that we authorise officials to complete and implement the design. I would have thought that, given on the night the conversation, we clearly didn't agree that. In fact, Councillor Casey made his point that really we would agree in principle to allow the conversation to take place with the trade unions, but I think we certainly didn't agree that that would be the authorisation for officers to go off and implement that design. I think what we had said that night was go off and have the conversations with the trade unions and then come back to Council, and then Council would have a further conversation and agree the design, and it would be that officers would go off and implement. Now, maybe they still appreciate and understand that, but it's just that that's not what the minute reads.
Okay, can we get some form of agreement then from Councillor Casey? Is that okay? And we're getting indication also from Councillor Enright. So can we have that minute amended then, please? Okay, and can I get a proposer and a seconder, please, for the amended? On this set of minutes, Councillor Kern, yes? Yeah, go ahead.
Chair, on that matter, Chair, yes, we would accept that, Chair. The proposal that Liam is looking for now is for the departments to be costed. In other words, all of the recommendations, the job specs have to be looked at, the evaluations need to be done, and that information needs to be brought back into the Council, Chairman. It is very, very important, and Liam on the night actually alluded to that when he stated that there was a commitment made at the start of the Council that there would be substantial savings found, and there's no way that the team here will be recommending a structure that is going to cost more for the Council to implement all of its services.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kern. Thank you, Addy. Okay, can I have a proposer and seconder then, please, for that set of minutes? Proposed by Councillor Craig, seconded by Councillor Kern. Thank you. Okay, on to Councillor Stokes. Are you looking in on this matter?
Yeah, Chair. No,
go ahead, sorry.
Just, Chair, I couldn't be here last Monday, but I was slightly concerned, or really greatly concerned, actually, that the way the papers, I mean, this has come up for this meeting, fairly major decision as to, I mean, the future structure. I know we've taken a certain amount of decisions already, the future structure of this Council, and the papers, as I understand, are only available hours before the meeting. I mean, purely from a corporate governance point of view, really, there's no way for this council or councillors to do their business. You know, we would really need to see these papers in advance, to have time to read them and discuss them before we make any decisions. And I think, I mean, going forward, Chair, I really don't think it's good enough. And we as councillors, I don't think, if we're not getting these important papers like this in advance, we will actually refuse to take them on the night, Chair.
Chair, we will note the comments made, but as you will accept, Chairman, the development and the implementation of the structure is a very sensitive matter for all of the Council officials, but we'll ensure that any information that should be put forward will be sent out to you well in advance for the future, Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. Councillors, on to item number 7 then, the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee. Again, we'll go through them for accuracy, page by page. Page number 1, page number 2.
Did we get a proposer and seconder?
We did.
Yeah.
Sorry, we did have a proposer and seconder. We had Councillor Craig proposed and Councillor Kern seconded.
Yeah, Councillor Kern.
Yep, we have done that. That was prior to Councillor Stokes.
Did we get it was Councillor Craig and Councillor Curran from memory.
Curran, yeah. Okay. So we have had a proposer and seconder for that one item. So on to item number 7. For accuracy, page by page then. So page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4, page number 5, page number 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Any matters arising, councillors?
Sorry, I don't have a copy of the agenda or my iPad with me, but it's this. I know I'd been speaking earlier about an update for Kendall Primary School in Ballykindler. I know that in the last few weeks there's been a change from the Education Authority's position on that. Could I get just a full update from Council or from Eddie where we are at the minute with that?
Chairman, as you will realise, the development of this scheme was a joint project between the Department of Education and the Council. Chairman, Michael Lipset wrote a letter to the Department, and the reply that has come back is very clear to say that because of financial reasons, the Department are no longer able to join us in that scheme, and they have indicated quite strongly that the recommendation they will be taking forward is the sale of the building. However, what the Council officials would ask for is that approval is given for the officials to meet with the community association to advise them in any way that they can to look at the possibility of other funding that may be there and to write a letter back to the department requesting that the department do not take a decision on the sale until we're able to supply them with further information. Chair,
on the basis of that, could I thank the director for that and maybe make that as a proposal, because that site is exceptionally unsafe at the minute. It's got broken windows, it's got rubbish all around the grounds of it, it's open for any members of the public to wander into, and I think we do need to move forward, and it's a bit of a blow that the Education Authority aren't going to provide the funding for that, but we all understand the difficult economic times, and if we can have somebody from our office or team that could work with the community there to be able to develop some fountain streams that they could replace the fountain that was going to be there from the Education Authority, it would certainly help to develop a very critical community hub for that the people that are living in and around Ballykindler. So be, if I could make that as a proposal.
Okay, can I have a seconder? Councillor Kern. Thank you, councillors.
Chair.
Sorry, there's someone else indicating in. Councillor Casey.
Am I enforced before? Yeah.
Yeah, go
it's
ahead.
To do page 5 on that report, the economic conference. Is that the Brexit conference? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Chairman, we need to call up Marie Ward, Chairman, to answer any questions on this.
Yeah, some of us were at that, and unfortunately had to leave because we had to go attend a meeting and trying to get community centre on anti-social issues. But it was taken to my attention much later, the attitude of the chair of that particular forum during the question and answer session. His attitude to RMEP was less than professional. I'd just like to find out, was that the case? And does he intend to apologise if his behaviour was other than professional?
Chair, the chair was under time constraints, extreme time constraints, and did make the same. He actually pushed a number of people for a question specifically, and he did do that with a number of people. But I can certainly feed back to him because I can't speak for him, Councillor, as you would appreciate. Sure, I can feed back to him, but I certainly can't comment for him.
Thank you, Councillor McKay.
Chair, yes, thank you. Just on the Anna Long Harbour Gate, I'm not on the ERT committee, but I realised on the original minutes of the 12th of October, minutes of that meeting, where the insurance been paid out in that gate was only £46,230. And that, to me, is disappointing, considering the redesign and construction of this new gate is somewhere in the region of £350,000. Now, I understood at one of the meetings we had, or I take it the last meeting with the fishermen, when we talked about redesigning the gate, that the fishermen would be brought into a room and shown the new design and see, were they happy with it before you progress any further. But I discover here we've maybe moved on perhaps without them. And I would just like to think that the fishermen would keep up the pace of what's going on here. Thank you.
Chair, we did actually meet with the a community group in Annalong. I'm not sure if there's more than one community group in Annalong or not, but we did actually brief them on where we're at with the Annalong Harbour Gate, and we advised them of various funding streams and things that we are looking for. So we are keeping them advised on the matter.
Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just back to the economic conference again. And certainly, could I just comment on it by way of congratulating certainly our director on the choice of topic. I know it was ourselves proposed that we do have an economic conference, but certainly the choice of topic was very pertinent to the situation. And the fact that we set the trend for discussion and being one of the, in fact, the first council and certainly the first, I think, region inside the UK that was actually discussing the Brexit. So I think that it owes well for our council, and certainly we would like to see future economic conferences along the same lines, and you know, to whatever topic and relevant at a particular time. But it was a tremendous success with 200 delegates there at the end of the day, extremely interesting and got great coverage for our council. So I was absolutely delighted to see that.
Thank you, Councillor.
Sure. Can I just come in and say, if you don't mind, the topic for the conference was something that was actually discussed at a Greater Neurovision meeting, and we just took the topic and progressed it on. So I wouldn't take credit for the topic, so I wouldn't at all.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much. Well, in relation to the Brexit conference in Newry, I must say that it was an excellent debate. All shades of opinion were represented, and many points were made of differences, you know, differences. People had their own ideas and feelings, and all that was taken on board. And as Councillor Michael Laird said, I think, Percy, it was a pioneering debate. I think we stole the show, and we led the way right across the board. And there's phone a friend. There's a deal or no deal. Well, getting back to that, anyway, just more or less to say, it was a brilliant conference. It was well attended. And I must say to the officers and to the director and the team of Newry Moreton Down Council, and to all others who worked so hard behind the scenes and from other organisations, everybody deserves a pat on the back. And we look forward to more events like that in the future, that we can show that we can put on a good event. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to go back to Councillor McKee's point. There is several community groups in Annalong, but I would ask the council to make sure that it is the fishermen's group that they are talking to. Because, as Harald said, at that last meeting, the fishermen were very clear on the strain that the old design had put on the stone structures off the harbour wall, and that to repeat such a manoeuvre could wreck that very historic piece of structure in Annalong, and we would want to ensure that that wouldn't happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley.
Yes, Madam Chair. The issue with the Annalong Harbour, it's actually getting critical, because if you look at the North Pier, you know, there's severe structural issues there. And I had Liam Hannaway down one day, and he did look at all those issues, and he was very supportive, but it does come down to funding. And I'm glad that Murray is actually following up some additional funding streams, because we will need to utilise absolutely every penny we can get our hands on. And I would have liked a second opinion on the actual price of fabricating that gate and getting it back into place. That seems an extraordinary amount of money to do that work. Madam Chair, on the Brexit conference, I was actually appalled at the degree of bias that was manifest at that conference. And even in your message advertising the conference, Madam Chair, you know, you were very biased in you know, your obvious intent that you want the UK to stay within Europe. And I think that was a very unfortunate way that you done that. And, you know, I understand that every political party is entitled to their opinion, but certainly we should not be using ratepayers' cash to promote a certain line of how people should vote on this critical issue. And I, for one, am a case of myself alone, ourselves alone, when it comes to Europe. And anybody who's prepared to sell out their national self-determination to a set of unelected bureaucrats in Brussels, they're not Irish, they're not Scots, they're not English, they're not Welsh. They're a conglomerate under the heel of Germany, and that's what they are in the Irish Republic, unfortunately. And we do not want the UK to go down that same road. And certainly any future conference that there's going to be ratepayers' money spent on, it should be done in a more impartial fashion. The selection of the chairman in Len O'Hagan, Len was not impartial whatsoever. He led in a very pro-EU agenda from the very start, even quoting from Napoleon and his desires to have a unified Europe. And, you know, Napoleon, the Kaiser and Hitler all had the same desire to unify Europe, and it was always this United Kingdom that thwarted those desires, and we will do so again. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Riley, and I note your comments on my speech and any public messages or comments that I made around the Brexit conference. However, as Marie rightly alluded to earlier, the conference came about from a discussion held at the Newry Wider Partnership Vision meeting. Myself and Eddie both attended some months ago. The conference was paid. It was a council-run event, which you're fully aware of. The conference was led in conjunction with the Newry and Mourne Chamber of Commerce, who put a substantial amount of work and research into it and into the delivery of it on the day. And my comments were based on the fact that when we did have preliminary discussions about the potential for a conference, it was very clear that the consensus coming from the business community was that it would be absolutely detrimental to our district.
And
I think that's the position held by the majority of councillors in this chamber.
And the council should not
I take your comments on board. Thank you, Councillor.
To supplement your political views or the views of your party, Madam Chair, what happened
Councillor Riley.
Should they pay money to promote
Councillor Riley, you've made your comments and they've been noted.
It's wrong.
You've made your comments and they've been noted,
no, well,
and that's
I
the end of it.
I made my comments, but you shouldn't come back and try to spout your political bias again.
Sorry, my political bias has nothing to do with this, and
it
had no reflection
on
my comments
are
made.
And if you listen, Madam Chair. It's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. You can move on if you want, but you can't deny the fact that the ratepayers are paying to subsidise Sinn Féin propaganda. And that is the fact.
Sorry, councillors, there is another red light lit up somewhere, but I can't see it.
It's fine, Chair. Here.
Councillor Tinley, sorry.
I'm sorry. I apologise in advance, Chair, for coming back to more mundane matters after Henry, but are you still taking matters arising from ERT?
Yes, still on matters arising.
Okay. I think this is probably towards Marie. Marie, on page 6 of the ERT minutes, there's a paragraph there about council entering into formal discussions with Forestry Service with a view to mutually agree terms and conditions of franchising of caravan and camping facilities, Castlewell and Tullymore and Restrever to external operators. Could you confirm for me, is Castlewell and Tullymore currently a camping facility that is run by the Forestry Service as opposed to the council? And there is a distinction between those two and Restrever?
Yes, sure there is. Castlewell and Tullymore are currently run by Forest Service, and we would be exploring the options to take on Castlewell and Tullymore and then re-looking at the arrangements around Restrever. But that's just something that we would be actually looking at discussing and bringing back to Council before any decisions would be made.
Okay, so it's just something that's going to be looked at in the round, Marie. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley.
Yes, Chair.
Sorry, Councillor Craig, go ahead.
Yeah. Chair, just getting back to the Brexit debate or the conference, I felt it was a very measured debate, and I did feel that both sides were given an adequate share of time to put forward their arguments and certainly give us food for thought. And I would like to just congratulate our director for a very good event, which I found very informative and very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Clark.
No.
Right, Brian.
That one I can't accept, sorry. I don't quite know how to respond to that, but if everyone could please wipe that from their minds. As someone else who was at the Brexit debate, I'd just like to congratulate the ERT department on putting it together. And I was sort of going to respond to Councillor Riley there, but I see he's nipped out of the room. As usual, not willing to have his opinions challenged properly in public debate. I think it was billed as a debate. It was a debate. There were two speakers for and two speakers against. It was a very fair debate, I thought. I think it's very interesting to see from both sides, and I know Charlie was just mentioning something and Henry was more having a go at it, but it's very interesting to see people defending their political opinions here in the chamber tonight, yet neither of those people spoke, including Henry, did not speak on the day when he had the opportunity to raise questions. And the fact that 92% of the people in the room said that they would vote to stay in the EU is perhaps just another example of UKIP swimming against the huge majority of public opinion in favour of staying in.
Thank you, Councillor. Is that everyone? Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, Chair, just to concur with the previous two speakers, certainly. I think.
Sorry, Councillor Stokes, could you adjust your microphone there? I'm finding it very difficult to hear you. Yes, perfect,
yeah.
Fine.
Chair, the agenda on the day was very balanced, and although I would be unashamedly pro-European Union, I thought the two speakers who spoke in favour of Brexit were actually putting forward some very coherent arguments. So for anyone to say it was a biased event, I think it's very unfair. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Enright.
Well, Councillor Brown stole my main point, which of course was that Henry failed to speak on the day, and he had his chance to make his point that Brexit was a good thing for the country. I also think he was unfair to tackle yourself, Chairperson, because clearly if Henry had his way and Britain left the European community, it might suit Sinn Féin very well, because clearly you're putting the benefit of both sides of the community ahead of the narrow need to have a united Ireland resulting from, inevitably, a British exit from the European community, which I'm sure would delight Henry intensely, were you here to listen to this debate.
Thank you, Councillor Enright, but I would just reiterate that I was there in my capacity as chairperson and not as a political representative. So, Councillor Walker.
Chair, I was there, but there's just one point that I want to make. Henry's not here to defend himself, but to be honest, Henry wanted to speak because I looked over. And the chair who was chairing it then, not yourself, Chair, the other gentleman, said, we're only taking two more questions. And if Marie was standing beside Henry, he wanted to speak. He didn't get a chance to speak. So let's not say that Henry didn't want to speak or didn't speak on the issue. Time was against us. Otherwise, Henry would have spoke.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillors, we've had matters arising then. Can I have a proposer and seconder for those sets of minutes? Proposed by Councillor Hannah, seconded by Councillor McAteer. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 8, Councillors, the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 14th of October. And we'll go through it page by page for accuracy. So page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4, page number 5, page number 6, page number 7, page number 8, page number 9, page number 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, and page 15. Matters arising. Councillor Casey.
Yeah, on page 6, request from the Keys to use in Christopher's Park for Christmas shopping parking. With a bit of luck, it'll alleviate some of the problems on the Drumlane Road until the traffic management issues that Transport A&I hope to put in place. But I'm raising it for another reason. On the night of the Halloween festival, the bottom road was closed most of the day, but we didn't, maybe it wasn't down to us to try and manage the situation on the top road, because I'm told it was unreal, chaotic. Now, there had been an emergency in the Drumlane Park area or on that particular road. God knows what would have happened, because cars were parked on either side, just left, you know, just enough room up the middle for one vehicle. Now, there were lorries trapped and cars trapped in that particular thing for hours on end until they were able to extricate themselves. But there was no management police weren't there. I don't know, maybe council should have had maybe some staff there. Was it our responsibility? I don't know. But the fact that the bottom road was closed most of the day, and I accept the fact that that probably needed to be done, but, you know, there should have been some mitigation as to what was going to happen on the top road.
Chairman, just to reply on that, Chairman, you're accurate what you were saying, Chairman. What the problem was a tractor and the trailer broke down on that road, Chairman. That's where the issue came. That was reported immediately to the PSNI and to INI, Chairman. But what we did was we immediately dispatched the supervisors that were down managing the event, and we actually resolved that issue in advance of the police arriving. We had that problem sorted. It was part of the risk assessment. We spoke to the community association. We informed them of that. We told them that if there was a problem, they should phone immediately. Being fair, they did ring. I spoke to Donna and to Connor, and immediately we sent 10 of our staff up to sort out that issue, Chairman. So it was done as quick as we were able to do, Chairman. Unfortunately, it was blocked for approximately 40 minutes, but the blockage was caused by a tractor, Chairman. That's what actually ended up happening.
Okay, thank you, Councillor and Eddie. Can I have a proposer? Sorry, I have another indicator here. Councillor
Quinn. I would just like to support what Councillor Casey said. But this problem didn't just manifest itself on Halloween. This problem has been going on for years with parking, as Charlie said, on both sides of that road. And there's many days in the middle of the week where ordinary vehicles, lorries delivering oil to houses, people trying to conduct their day-to-day business, we need to make a proper approach to sorting out the traffic problems on that road by restricting the parking to one side of the road or doing something, because the people on that road are hemmed in day after day into their own houses. They go out to do a bit of shopping with the car, they come back, they can't get parking near their own houses. And it's the people who are working in the businesses around there which should have provided their own car parking that are causing all this blockage and damage to the people who live in that area.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, it's on page 11 of that as well, hopefully, which is actually the decades of centenaries, 11 and 12. There's a comment made by the Chief Executive in page 12 that he suggested that the parties may wish to run a council event throughout the decades. Certainly, for one, I would like to see that been taken and put in place, that it is that there is a council event marking the events in those years, and certainly next year, and its significance to many communities. And certainly I would like to see that progress. If that he's suggesting there, could we ask that would be instigated, we sort of work it up. I mean, it's very close to 2016 now, Chair, so certainly I propose that we would go ahead with that.
Thank you, Councillor. My understanding is that piece of work is already progressing through the Equality Forum, and it is something that we've been working on and that we have a broad consensus from across the party grouping. Okay. Any other items? Councillor Hart?
Just on back to the Drummer Lane Road one again. We have met with Road Service, and the road is going to be double yellow lined on the left hand right out to the Drummer Lane Park Estate in the new year.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Okay, can I have a proposer and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Craig, seconded by Councillor Donnelly. Thank you. Okay, on to item number 9, Councillors. The minutes of the Active and Healthy Committees, or Healthy Communities Committee, sorry, held on October 19th. And we'll go through it for accuracy page by page once again. So, page number 1, page number 2, page number 3. Matter of accuracy? Yes, go ahead, Councillor.
Yes.
We can have that minute amended to reflect that, yes. Okay, so once again, for accuracy, we're on page number 3, Page number 4.
Chairperson.
Page. Matter of accuracy, yes?
Yep.
Go ahead.
On top of page 4 on the update for capital projects, it ends with a paragraph saying Council Enright stated the wind turbine should be placed at Drumdekelly. That's not quite correct. What I said was that projects that make money for the council or make a profit for the council should be prioritised first. And I gave an example of Drumdekelly, where as far back as 2011-2012 financial year, we had a budget in excess of £100,000 for revenue from a wind turbine and from gas from Drumdekelly. And so by my estimate, our failure to deliver on that sort of project is now running into the hundreds of thousands, possibly as much as half a million, by not delivering on that project. And I'm saying that, and I think it's agreed, that we should prioritise those projects that are making money for the council as opposed to those that are costing us.
Okay, we can have that amended, Councillor Enright. Okay, on to page number 5 then,
yes,
again for accuracy. Councillor Sharvin.
It's the defibrillators item, Chair. I've checked with Councillor Taylor, who seconded it, with myself proposing it. I was of the opinion that we should go ahead with the 11 that we've identified within council buildings, and that we should identify the money within this year rather than waiting to go to the rates process. Because, as I'm sure everyone across this council would agree, that we can't put a price on saving a life, and it's quite critical in getting those 11 council buildings fitted with the defibrillator.
Chair, I suppose, given that I did second motion, it was my impression too that we would proceed with that, you know, going forward. I didn't think it had to be discussed under the rate system,
okay.
But I thought it was an action that we would take forward immediately.
Just pass you over,
John, if that is the decision, that should be altered to state that the money should be found out of the 2015-2016 that Great Essence, Chairman, we'll arrange to get that amended, Chairman. But we'd have to, no, Chairman, that would have to be for the overspend, Chairman, because it's not in the budget.
Okay. So, again, for accuracy, we're on page number 5, page number 6, page number 7, page number 8. Any further matters arising? Okay, can I have a proposer and a seconder, please, for those sets of minutes? Proposed by Councillor Murray. Seconded by Councillor Gate. Thank you.
Councillor
Enright, Lochran. Okay, councillors, on to item number 10, please. The minutes for the Regulatory and Technical Services Committee held on the 21st of October. And we'll go through them page by page for accuracy. Okay, page number 1, page number 2, page number 3, page number 4. Are you looking to put forward a proposal tonight, Councillor Gribben?
On that, I put in a proviso on the back of what he said, that Council were to look historically at every single road name just to see was there an issue with it in terms of the spellings, the original spellings that are on maps that predate the 1904 Ordnance Survey. And that was agreed by everyone. So.
Okay. So that isn't reflected in that minute. We can have that amended then. Okay, we can make that amendment.
Okay, well, Candice, have you any comment, Candice?
Sure, my recollection is at the minute, as Corridor is accurate, there was a lengthy discussion at the end of it. It was agreed that the officer would go away, look at it, come back with further report, which is what the minute says.
Chair, I don't want to get into the debate, but I suppose I know it was a fairly lengthy debate whenever the meeting took place, but I don't think Janice is far wrong there. I thought they were to come back next month with...
Are Are you happy to proceed on that basis then to allow
the issue certainly wasn't closed, but it was my understanding that there would have been there was concerns expressed about the proposal to look at every road, the length of time that would take.
And a report will come back then to the next
come back to the next
meeting.
Month, you know, there's no doubt about that.
Okay.
The issue certainly wasn't closed.
Are you in agreement, Councillor Casey?
Aye.
Yeah, Councillor Gribben, yeah.
Okay,
excellent. Okay. Sorry, we were on page number 2, sorry for accuracy. So page number 2, page number 3, page number 4, page number 5, page number 6, page number 7, page number 8, page number 9.
Aye, Chair.
Matters arising. Councillor Mernon.
Yeah, just on page number 7, the proposed installation of the large display screen. Can I get some clarity just on the £23,000 for that scheme? Is that £23,000 already been allocated in the Christmas light budget, or is that coming out of the budget, the Christmas light budget? And if so, what town is it coming out of? Is it coming out of across the whole district?
So, and there was a budget put in for the Christmas lights, and at the time we were doing the budget, we had indicated that the television that was to be located in Hill Street would be coded to that overall budget, Chairman. And we can assure you that there is sufficient funding inside of that to do all of the lighting, plus the cost of the erection for the TV.
Is that only relating to Newry City?
That's relating. The budget was for lights across all of the district, but within that budget we had indicated at that stage that the £23,000 for the television would be added in at that time as well, Chair. So it will have no effect for all of the lighting, Chairman.
Right, okay.
No effect at all.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Andrews, sorry.
Thank you very much, Chair. And first of all, on the footnote, I would like to take this opportunity of congratulating Newcastle on receiving the runners-up award at the Northern Ireland Mini Council. I was proud to be to go along to the Guildhall in Londonderry / Derry City to receive the certificate, and I think it was a great occasion for the council and for the residents of Newcastle. I'd like to pay tribute to everybody concerned who worked so hard in bringing Newcastle up to standard for recognition, and I'm sure councillors right across the board would be of the same sentiment. So I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking our environmental team for going the extra mile and making sure that this award was received. And thanks to all concerned. It's been a great day for the district, and hopefully in the years ahead that there will be many more awards, not runners-up, but we look for winners to come our way. So hopefully there will be a team spirit right across the district.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. I'm still struggling to find where that's in the minutes, as a matter of accuracy. We are not chairman, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Casey, go ahead.
Well, I'm probably going to get scolded as well then. It's not very often, and you appreciate it's not very often councillors get an opportunity to raise issues that are of concern to the ratepayers in a forum such as this. Now, it's not mentioned specifically in the minutes, but it's the particular committee and department that deals with refuse collection and the receptacles that the refuse is in, for instance, in this case, bins. Go back to the meeting where we left, myself and Councillor Volleyhart left the Brexit meeting to go to the meeting in Carnegie Community Centre. One of the issues raised was the destruction of a number of bins, black, blue and brown. And some citizens in that area lost maybe 3 bins. Now, to get those replaced, the value nearly 300 quid, or 150, at least 200 quid anyway, including delivery. Now, some of the people in the area just could not manage, will not be able to manage that particular cost. It used to be, I hate referring back to the legacy councils, but there was a time when maybe second-hand bins were available at a reduced cost, and if the people collected themselves, there was no delivery charge, obviously. So is there something we can do to mitigate against circumstances like this where people who are challenged economically, living on benefits maybe, and I hate to use that term because it's demeaning, but is there something we can do to mitigate against that particular cost to the citizens of the district?
Canis, can I ask you to comment on that?
Yeah.
John.
There's very significantly reduced cost of the repair. We do have second-hand bins, and we can make them available on request. And again, I believe I have to check it out the top of my head to be half price, but I don't know the exact price. But you know, it's a case of whether there are second-hand bins. If there aren't, we haven't got them. If there are, we have them. We certainly don't.
I would accept that, and I understand the council's point of view, but that is maybe not clearly outlined to the person who comes in. We're told the owner of your bill of this is going to cost you £55 plus £15 delivery. No mention of any of that. You get an incident number, you get a police report, you get a reduction, you may have second hand sales, you don't have it. It's just no. You want it? You then, you pay for it.
I can assure you that people taking those calls are better instructed and given the instructive to make sure they quote all those options.
I think that's the best way to proceed. Thank you, Canis. Councillor. Councillor Craig.
Chair. Chair, it's on the item to do with the largest display screen at Hill Street in Uri. Now, I'm not a member of the Regulatory and Technical Services Committee, but it's just a wee bit of clarity on this large screen. What is actually going to be displayed on it? Is there a benefit? Will we be charging for advertising? Will there be a benefit to the council in any way? And is it really considered value for money? £23,000. I just want a wee bit more clarity around that, please.
Chairman, in answer to that, Chairman, the scheme, even though it was raised earlier on, is not part of the Christmas illuminations. It was part of the revitalisation scheme that was implemented after the implementation of the environmental scheme in the city centre. There was a project brought forward in association with the private sector, with DSD and the council. The actual cost of the erection of a large scheme, Chairman, is normally somewhere in the region of about £140,000 to £150,000. The private sector have put forward a very substantial sum of money for the purchase of the scheme and for part of the erection of it, Chairman. There will be advertisements and etc. shown on it. The benefit for you as a council is that you as a council will get 6 hours per week free advertisements on all of the events and all of the things that should be happening inside of the area. If you were to cost that up, and for the money that has been put in out of the council, the value for money over the 3 years is very, very substantial. Chairman, the operator of it as well, the Destination Newry, will also be utilising it for major events in the city centre, for the showing of films, etc. And there was a business case done at the time that showed that the benefit for the council was substantial. And if anybody is aware of the economic appraisals that are done, particularly by the DSD, this scheme wouldn't have went through, Chairman, if it didn't hit all of the right buttons, Chairman. The structure has got planning approval initially for 2 years, but the plan is that it would be erected for 5 years, and we have no operational involvement in it for the cost of it. From here on in, the full cost for the electricity, for the internet, for the connection, for anything else, there's nothing extra for the council except for the money that you used here, plus you get the 6 hours every single week, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Craig, and I note your interest and Councillor Murnan's on this issue, because it is something that I raised prior to that committee meeting. It was something, obviously, for councillors, particularly coming from the down end of the district and not having the background knowledge of the structure in the Newry and Mourne end of the district. It was something that was totally new to me, but given that Eddie and Liam had previously outlined the conditions set with it and the fact that a lot of the funding had been externally resourced, I was happy to concede on this basis that it is of benefit to the area. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. I'm so glad that you took Councillor Casey's item there around the bins, and I've raised this with the Director directly. Within the Downpatrick area, there's been a bit of anti-social behaviour where residents have had their bins burnt out, and they're ringing this council and they're being told that they have to pay for something that they didn't do themselves. So I think maybe for the next RTS committee, this item can be discussed. I think charging £5 for a residential bin to be delivered whenever the staff could be driving by that particular house and could be dropped off free of charge when they're going to pay £20 anyhow for a bin could certainly be looked at. So thanks, Charlie, for raising that.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, can we have a Are you lit up again there?
I'm lit up and wired
up.
I'd just like to make a wee point, Chair. I'm just very disappointed in being scolded. Paying tribute to my role as chairman of...
Councillor, I'm moving on.
No,
I'm not,
sorry.
No, sorry.
I'm moving on.
If this is the matter you're reflecting on, I'm moving on.
Through the chair. I made a comment complimenting the staff of this council and you scolded me.
Sorry, Terry, I'm moving on.
Anybody, so
this
I'm
is not relevant.
Further.
I called
relevant.
For matter of accuracy
I was
at the beginning.
I called for matters of accuracy at the beginning.
What you raised was not a matter of accuracy. And in fact, it's more pertinent to the committee that you raise it in your capacity as chairperson there and not here.
I did that.
Can I have a proposer and seconder, please, for those 6 minutes?
Well, I just put my point across, Chair.
Thanks for
having me. My pleasure.
And seconded by Councillor Gribben. Thank you. Okay, councillors, on to item number 11, the Strangford Ferry timetable proposed amendment. This is up for consideration, councillors, and before we do proceed any further, I'm going to make a recommendation, a proposal this evening, and I'll be looking for a seconder, that we as a council consult immediately on the proposals put before us by DRD to have changes effectively to the Strangford Ferry service. I note that two of the proposals, one includes an extended service for the morning, which will be obviously very welcome to users of the ferry service. But the second proposal is to cut two of the evening services, which will be detrimental to businesses right across the Lochiel and Down coastline. So I think, given the fact that the services communities across Newry-Mourne and Down, and particularly in the Lochiel district, but also in the North Down and Ards Council area, I'm going to make a proposal tonight that we as a council consult immediately on this issue, but we do so in conjunction with Ards and North Down Council. We ask for them to support and endorse our position and our formal consultation response. And I'm going to ask that, given the fact that this issue is very pertinent to the community planning process and will hopefully incorporate a lot of input from different community organisations, I'm going to ask specifically that we ask for a community planning team or someone within our community planning department to take a lead on this issue, to carry out research and to come back to the council before the closing date on the 27th of November with a consultation response to be endorsed by this council. And as I say, that we would also write to North Down and Ards Council and ask them to support and endorse our position. I also made reference just now to a consultation format of some sort of structure, but particularly what I'd like to see is some form of pop-up consultation clinic. And I've spoken with senior officers here in the council about how that would effectively work. My concern is that the DRD proposals at present will be largely not maybe consulted on fully because of the type of consultation process that they're running. So my concern is that it won't have a large degree of feed-in or buy-in from the local community organisations or indeed users of the ferry. So I'm asking here that my proposal would include a caveat that when performing our pop-up clinic that we do so in conjunction with ferry staff, DRD staff, and that we try where possible to do that pop-up clinic on the ferry itself to try and generate as much publicity and interest and as much feedback from users of the service as possible.
Can I add just one thing?
Go ahead.
Sure, can I just add one thing, Chairman? If you take a look at the letter that has been sent in, Chairman, you'll see that the period for the consultation concludes on the 27th of November. Now, for us to do the work that has been asked for, I think, Chairman, one of the recommendations all should be that we should write and request that the Department extend that date from the 27th until 10 days after your monthly meeting, because that would allow the officials to report back to your monthly meeting in December and allow you to agree on the recommendations that are going to be brought forward at that meeting. If not, Chairman, it's going to leave us very short of time to get this back to the Council for all of the councillors, and it will not give us an awful lot of time as well also for going out to the community, Chairperson.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor Sharvin.
Sorry, Chair, I may have missed parts of that. I did pick up on the pop-up clinic, and I'm guessing that you're in favour of the early, the extra early ceiling, and that you're against the loss of the two later ones at the weekend. Okay. Fully agree. I think the extra ceiling in the morning is greatly welcomed, and I'm fully against the stopping off the extra ceilings, later ceilings from 10:30 in Strangford and 10:45 in Portaferry. They do include figures, and whenever you work it out, you know, it's around over 70 people affected by the cancellation of these late ceilings, and then around 25 cars that use it. I'm not going against your proposal, Chair. The only reason is I'm not sure if the council should do this pop-up clinic. If we remember back whenever the DRD were putting in plans to extend the harbour area and the works that they wanted to do, they held that clinic. You know, they should be coming out to the community and asking the community where they stand on and what their feelings are. And I know there's a very active community association in Strangford who is another consultee within this consultation. So I think we should write to DRD and demand that they hold this pop-up clinic, that they should be driving this amendment that they're trying to enforce on users, which is totally ridiculous on what they're suggesting and canceling. So I would amend it is that we write to DRD in agreement with Eddie that we ask for an extension on the time frame, but also ask them to come out and hold a pop-up clinic for consultees to come in from the public and give their opinion on it. They should also be doing surveys within the ferry itself for people that are walking on. There should be a staff member handing out information to make them aware of this amendment that they're proposing. So I'm not against this pop-up clinic, but I don't think the council should lead that. I think DRD should lead that.
Okay, on board your comments. Part of my concern is, Councillor Sharvin, that I have made representations on that basis to DRD in the past with respect to this consultation. And unfortunately, they are of the opinion that the consultation format that they're rolling out at present is suffice, and be that they're accepting written submissions and they're also accepting people coming to the Strangford ferry station itself to submit correspondence. However, outside of that, you'll be aware that often users don't have either time nor capacity to tie in.
Yeah.
And I'm also concerned that the level of opening hours with the ferry service station in Strangford, it's already limited, as you know, so it may curtail some people from having input into that consultation. I also have spoken to them about the circulation of information on the ferry and to users to notify people who maybe aren't aware of the ongoing consultation. I have been told that they have been doing so, but despite the fact that I travel on the ferry at least twice a day, every day of the week, I'm yet to receive any of that information. So I do, you know, I have particular concerns that despite some of the information that we may be given, that we may not actually be getting a correct feedback from users of the service and from the wider community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've rightly outlined, this would be detrimental to some of the hoteliers and restaurateurs in Strangford and along the Lochiel coastline. So I think it's something that we as a council need to be taking a position on.
Okay. I'll certainly take that on board, Chair. And then I'll certainly second your proposal then.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Enright.
I was going to second your proposal as well, Chairperson, but one very important proviso. If you recall, about 2 years ago, I persuaded TransLink to merge their Rahulp, Sol and Strangford commuter services coming into the town in the morning, and basically to have a better service that links up with the Belfast bus. And the outstanding point at that time, 2 years ago, was, of course, that the first bus from Strangford didn't match the first boat getting in from Portaferry. And I've been writing in for the last 2 years to DRD, attempting to get them to change that. I know that Kay Sharkey from TransLink was also writing to them to get them to change that. So I think we need to embrace the early morning because basically people from Porta Ferry can then not only get a better service on the ferry and bus, but they can also link up to the express services to Belfast as well, which would be a very handy thing. Quite a number of people were asking us about that. Mm-hmm. So if we can embrace the early morning starting, I'd be more than glad to support what you're proposing.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor... Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I too would be in support of your proposal. You know, as we've seen it firsthand, and especially in Porta Ferry over the past few weeks, we've seen the closure at short notice of the Porta Ferry Hotel, and also Explorers, which has been in a state of suspension for quite some period of time. You know, and all these factors add to uncertainties, and with the proposals as been outlined with the no reduction of ferry services, I feel, we've seen right across our district or the area, you've seen the cutbacks in rural transport, the likes of the ferry service. You know, we're meant to be bringing tourists to our part of East Down and to the Ards Peninsula, and we're trying to flag that as a major tourism area, you know, for people to come. If you don't have the ferry in place, people are going to turn and say, well, if that's operating on a part-time basis, may as well forget about it. But as you say, these proposals are more or less another nail in the coffin of the rural communities, and I do worry about the domino effect. And I do agree with your proposal that we need to get our voice, put our points across and make our voices heard that this is not on. And at the end of the day, it's all right for the powers that be that can sit in offices and jiggle figures, but then the most important figures to the people of our district is the numbers of people that are visiting, locals that are availing of services, and what money is being generated for the benefit of all. So I support your motion, Naomi. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor McKay.
Chair, just you did ask at the beginning about declaration of interest. Mm-hmm. I recall yourself having to leave a meeting here early because the ferry was going to be stopping if you didn't make it there in time. Should I ask the legal adviser, should you be declared an interest on this particular proposal, seeing it concerned yourself
and
the wider area?
Go ahead, Patrick.
Sorry, thank you, Chairperson. This is a matter in which the Chair is also a user of the ferry and has an interest, but at the same time, it's a matter relevant to all users of the ferry within the district, and I don't think she is voicing an opinion that puts her over and above the benefit of other users of the ferry. I don't think it's in no way is she using her position to secure a better service for herself over and above her fellow constituents within the district.
But thank you for your interest, Councillor. Councillor Clark.
Chair.
Keeping me right, I know that, yes.
Chair, just very...
Don't fall for that one.
Councillor Clark.
Chair, I think it's very important that the council are involved in that consultation, and I think it is an innovative approach for the council to do the pop-up event, and I think you're right to link it to community planning. We have to start doing consultations in a different way, and I think you will garner a lot of information, and you've first-hand experience yourself, but you'll garner a lot of information from the users on other issues, even besides the ferry. You know, so I think it's very worthwhile that the council seem to be on the ground and discussing issues that are very relevant with the constituents on the ground. So I think it's very, very essential that we do the consultation.
Thank you, Councillor Clark.
Yes, Chair, I totally support your recommendation here tonight to get there, and your proposal to get there, because I would have concerns about if you left the consultation to the Roads Department. I know what would happen in the sense here, because we have found this out here in Dunpatrick on numerous occasions to get there, and the end story wouldn't be to your benefit. So I think that we want to do it here so that everybody's concerned is taken in and that the ferry maintains keeps on the service that it does have, because it is very important to the economy. I know the fishermen and all people going back and forth from Portavogie to our glass is very important on the ferry. So I totally support your
thank you, Councillor Kern. So we have a proposer, myself, and it was seconded by Councillor Sharvin, so happy to proceed on that basis then. Okay, councillors, so moving on to item number 12A. This is a report to consider matters in relation to an appeal to the High Court. Councillors, is this in committee? Sorry, apologies. I've written over item number 12 and I've missed it. Sorry, councillors, back to item number 12, the consultation on human trafficking, the secondary legislation.
Yep.
Councillor, yep. Or sorry, Patrick, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is a consultation being carried out by the Department of Justice in relation to secondary legislation they're proposing under the Human Trafficking and Exploitation Criminal Justice and Support for Victims Act of Northern Ireland 2015 and the Modern Slavery Act of 2015. Now, the consultation period closed on the 22nd of October 2015. The Chief Executive of Council had asked myself and the Policing and Community Safety Partnership Manager to formulate a response on behalf of Council, which the Chief Executive submitted under paragraph 2.14 of the Scheme of Delegation, but it's been brought forward tonight for noting and for any other comments members may wish this Council to make to the Department of Justice. I can take you through, if you wish, each statutory rule that they proposed. The first one is in relation to any slavery and trafficking prevention order which would be made in United Kingdom, England, Wales or Scotland. The legislation that the Department of Justice over here is proposing would allow the courts then to ensure that that same order is applicable to this jurisdiction. The second statutory rule requires additional notification requirements for those persons with slavery and trafficking prevention orders registered against them. It seeks to give greater ability of the Police Service of Northern Ireland to track those offenders and to monitor their movements and their activities, as you can see there. And in relation to associated issues with the proposed statutory rules, the Department of Justice had carried out a pre-consultation discussion with the PSNI and Public Prosecution Service, who felt that it would be better if it was within the court's jurisdiction to hand out slavery and trafficking prevention orders subject to requests from the PSNI or the PPS during a hearing or a trial. The Council's response in that respect was that we were in agreement with it, but at the same time he made them aware that as we have a border with the Republic of Ireland, that we should also look at linking up with the agencies in the south to ensure that there's a cross-border tracking of those individuals with slavery and trafficking prevention orders registered against them. And in the Modern Slavery Act, there's a statutory rule which is out for consultation, and that specified organisations or individual who had a duty to cooperate with the UK Independent Anti-Slavery Commissioner. The Council's response was that we were in agreement with that at this stage, pending the outcome of how the community planning works out. There may be a need in future that it's a role that district councils in Northern Ireland can have, but at this time we felt that that role can be discharged through the Police and Community Safety Partnerships, whereby they can feed into the Department of Justice as they have a role as a specified organisation with a duty to cooperate. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions, Councillor Craig?
Right. Chair, I would just like to welcome this piece of legislation, very effective legislation, which hopefully will soon be on the statute book. I just remind members too that it was due to very excellent work of Lord Morrow that we have the Human Trafficking Exploitation Bill before the Assembly and voted with an overwhelming majority. And also, as I'm sure aware, Chair, it does make a new law that makes it a crime to pay for sex. So I certainly welcome it. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Craig. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, Chair, it was just in regard to especially the working, the people who've been in slavery. And you see, where the new requirement is that anybody who's travelling to any rest in the UK, but in the 26 counties, go for 3 days. Does that just, in Michael or to Patrick, does that not allow sort of kind of almost a cross border, a green area, a grey area, where people could actually operate under that basis? you know, that not a kind of a loophole there, that 3 days, as a, if they're acting illegally, they have 3 days really to nip in, nip out, and basically carry on what they wanted to do.
I suppose, through the chairperson, there's no requirement at present for them to notify. This is taking into account that within this island there's two jurisdictions, but quite often and quite regularly people do traverse the border for work purposes or for other purposes, and that's taking that into account. But if the council as a corporate body is minded to ask that to be reduced in the consultation, we can certainly go back to the Department of Justice, as we have advised them that this would be taken for ratification at this evening's meeting and would be subject to any additional comments.
Sorry, that was just what I read out of it, that there was again a bit of a loophole there, simply because of two jurisdictions. Yet again, if they wanted to go across to Scotland or Wales, there's no problem. They had to notify, you know.
Yes. Okay, councillors, so that item's just for noting, isn't that right?
Yep.
Item 12, just for noting?
Yeah, just for noting.
Yeah. Okay, councillors? Yeah. Okay. Okay, councillors, so moving on to item 12A then.
Chairman, item 12A is deemed to be restricted by virtue of...
Opposed by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Mercury.
Chairman, just to put the recommendation, just to follow for the procedures, that the council will now go out to consult with everybody who supplied the witness statement, Chairman, to ascertain whether or not they support the other route chairperson and to arrange to take that information back to the council for the further consideration.
Okay, thank you. Okay, councillors, on to item number 13 then, Belfast City Council resolution regarding animal cruelty.
I will second the chairperson with the papers.
Okay, it's been circulated round. Do we have a proposer and seconder? Any comments? Proposed by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Mulgrew.
Huh?
Councillor Stokes, sorry, are you looking in on that item?
I'm going to propose a second, Chair. Okay. Happy enough. Yeah.
Okay, on to item number 14, councillors, correspondence from Road Service regarding the proposed accessible parking bay at 13 Drumdrum Road, Newcastle.
Chairperson, there is a map attached to that, chairperson, showing where the disabled parking bay will be located. We just want to ascertain, does the council support that siting, chairperson? Is there somebody to propose and second if that's the case, chairperson?
Councillor Han,
I'm not proposing it, no thanks.
Oh, sorry,
Councillor Han. Go ahead.
I just would have concerns, sir, just where you're proposing to locate that. That's in the main road into Newcastle, so it is. Mm-hmm. If you're proposing to put that there, I think it would be very concerning, because that's the main volume of traffic that's in there. Two lorries meeting side by side going in there, and somebody trying to get out of a disabled car there, I think it would be very concerning. I think it needs a bit more consideration.
Chairman, I wouldn't say this is for the council to recommend support or against, Chairman. I think if they're just sending it to you for noting, just to let you know that's where it's going. But we can write to them and say to them, Chairman, that we're not happy about that.
Councillor Clark?
Chair, and that's what I was going to say. We don't have a lot of choice in regards to this. This is a disability, you know, application. In regards to that particular junction, there's an awful congestion in around that area, even with the parked cars there at present, you know, so... I think maybe if we could write and seek a meeting, I'm not sure how that would go about. It could be the Mourns DA could seek a meeting to look at how we improve that. I see Martin maybe putting an additional lane beside the roundabout, which is an ownership of the council. If there was an option to look at a scheme, you know, to put a parking bay right along that section, but put an additional lane of traffic in as well. You know, so maybe discuss that at a meeting.
Somebody to second that request for a meeting.
Can we have a seconder then? Councillor Hannah.
Okay, we'll do that, Chairperson.
Okay, on to item number 15 then, councillors. Correspondence from the Special EU Programmes Body on Peace 4 Cooperation Programme.
Chairman, this for information again, Chairman. The EU have informed us that the Peace 4 for the programme was submitted to the EU Commission on the 2nd of October 2015, and they hope to have an agreement on the programme by the end of December, and they will advise the council at that time with the local authorities being involved from that stage forward. So that's only for noting, Chair.
For noting, once again.
excuse me.
Okay, happy to proceed then on to item number 16, councillors. Item number 16, the APSE-NI Seminar on Sustainable Development and the Role of Local Authorities.
Chairman, this is an event on Friday the 13th of November. It's been held in Craigavon Civic Centre, Chairman. The event is free for APSE members, Chairman, but we are a member of it, Chairman. So if any members would like to attend, could they let the committee clerks know with Councillor Byrne, Councillor Riley, Councillor Andrews,
Councillor Craig.
Yeah, sorry, Chair, could I just make a comment here that that this is clashes with a community planning event, a thematic workshop on the environment, and the same morning. So just members need to bear that in mind.
Thank you very much, Councillor, for that.
Are those members happy then, therefore, to... Okay, withdraw your name. Councillor Riley, are you happy for your name to go forward? You are. And Councillor Andrews?
Okay.
Okay, so withdraw your name also. So, Councillor Riley, we're submitting your name on that basis then. Okay.
Councillor Harvey as well, Chairman.
And Councillor McAteer.
Any other members, Chairman, who want, they can let the committee clerks know, and we make sure that...
Okay, councillors, on to item number 17 then. Correspondence received from Transport NI on the proposed abandonment at Ran Road in Annacloy Road, Downpatrick.
That's for noting, Chairman.
Councillors, that item is for noting, unless there's any further comments. Okay, on to item number 18. Correspondence received from Post Office regarding the branch relocation and modernisation of St Field Post Office, Ballinahinch.
Chairman, this is the letter that's come in. They're writing to let you know we're proposing, with the postmaster's agreement, to move the above post office branch to a new location at the Maxwell Spar and 11 Crossguard Road, Sainfield, Ballinahinch. I'm pleased to tell you that if the move is to go ahead, subject to consultation, it will change to one of the new local style of the branches, Chair. So it's really, Chairperson, do you support that?
Okay, Councillor Andrews, have you a comment to make on this?
Yes, more or less, it's welcome the news that Royal Mail and the Post Office Services are still maintaining their services to such the rural communities and villages and all, because as I said earlier on this evening, we spoke about the way the heart's been ripped out of our communities, with the Port of Fry and other areas through the district, the heart getting ripped out of the town centres, and it's good to see that such an important service that is essential to so many residents has been maintained in Sinfield. And it's good to see that the post office has maintained the presence there. But thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Okay, councillors, happy to... Sorry, Councillor Walker.
Sure, I would also welcome the fact that we're relocating. I think by relocating, it's securing the future of post office counters in Sinfield. You know, there is going to be similar ones coming up over the coming months in around our district, and it has to be welcome when they relocate rather than leave the town altogether. So I welcome the fact that they're relocating.
Chairman, can I then accept that we would write back saying that the council support the proposed relocation?
I make
as
that
part of consultation. Can I second that?
Seconded by Councillor Harvey. Councillor Harvey, are you looking in also?
I was
also
just going to say also support it. I mean, it's good. There's good parking. There's good access. It all looks good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, councillors, on to item 19 then. It's a letter from OFMDFN regarding the refugee crisis.
Chairman, can I say this is a letter that has come in from the First and the Deputy First Minister confirming that work is continuing with the Vulnerable Persons Relocation Scheme, Chairman, and it's just updating us that a lot of work has been done. They're getting ready to welcome between 50 to 100 by December of this year, Chairman, and to inform us that they will update us with further information as and when. But they're basically saying that they're ready for the refugees arriving, Chairperson. So it's just for noting.
For noting once again, councillors. Okay, happy to proceed on to item number 20 then. Item number 20, councillors, a letter from Dard regarding the dairy farmers.
Chairman, that's a letter that's in from Michelle O'Neill, MLA, who's the Minister for Agriculture, Chair. The letter has been passed. It is in reply to the Council's letter of the 17th of March advising the Minister on the resolution that was passed by the Council expressing support for the dairy farmers and calling for action to be taken to address the issues that all the farms sectors are currently facing. Chairman, it's for noting, Chair, unless any member has anything
any
to say.
Okay. On to item number 21.
Chairman, it's the exact same. It's a letter from Phil Hogan from the European Commission, Chairman, and again it is for noting.
Madam Chair.
Councillor Riley, you're looking in on item 21.
Madam Chair, how infuriating is it for an unelected commissioner to basically say to us, your country, the UK, in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland terms, is still under capacity in milk. There's still milk being imported. And he's telling us that we're not allowed any intervention at times because it doesn't suit his agenda. And if you look at the previous in 20, our own minister, whether you like her or not, she's elected by the people and she's in there in a constitutional arrangement that's agreed by the people of Northern Ireland. And yet she has to run to Mr. Hogan. And if you look at what she said it's the same case for her English, Scottish and Welsh colleagues, that they can only go and plead with this man to allow them to do certain things or make suggestions or recommendations to him. Chairman, Madam Chair, I honestly think that we're big enough people that we could run our own agriculture without having to run into Mr. Hogan. And the sooner we're out of the EU, the better.
That point's been well noted this evening, Councillor Riley. Okay. Any further comments on 21? No. Proceeding on to item number 22, documents for sealing.
Chairman, can move somebody to propose and second the sealing of the documents, Chairman? Or as well proposed.
Councillor Dorn.
Councillor Second Donnelly. Chairman, you have won there the deed of confirmation and release between the Crown Estate and Newry Morning Down regarding land at Anseley Mansions, Newcastle. Number two, the memorandum for sale and lease in triplicate relating to the ownership of land at Shimler Park in Newcastle. Number three, disposal of land at 29 Belfast Road, Sainfield, Newry Morning Down and Andrea Ray. Number four, purchase of land adjacent to 45 St Patrick's Avenue, Downpatrick, for the conveyance. And number five, deed of conveyance and licence agreement, sale of portions of land at 16 The Square, Restrever. And number six, chairman agreement for the car loan for a staff member, Chair.
Councillor Hannah, are you looking in?
Chair. On these documents for sealing, to be quite honest with you, there's very, very minimal information in them there. I would like a bit more information before we just rubber stamp all this. I honestly do think we need a bit more information. Honestly do.
Chairman, we can supply any information that is needed. And what we'll do, in of course, future, Chairman, is we'll make a copy of any of the documents available after the meeting for any of the councillors just to view. But Chairman, I assure you that all of the matters that are in front of you have been examined and are legally in order for us to do. If not, we would not be putting them here, Chairman, in front of you.
Councillor Andrew.
Thanks very much, Chair, and more or less in relation to the documents for sealing. What's caught my
eye... Excuse me, sorry, Councillor Andrews. Can we have a bit of decorum, councillors? We can't hear Councillor Andrews' contribution.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to ask that what's staring out at me here is in item number three, and what's really worrying me is disposal of land at 29 Belfast Road in Sinfield. As you know, a lot of hard work has gone into putting in a facility for that at that place in Sinfield, and I'm just wondering exactly what has been disposed of, because once you see disposal of land, alarm bells is going to go off.
Chairman, you have to understand, Chairman, the documents that are in front of us in the majority will be documents that arose from Down, the former council, Chairman, and there would be a minute approving those, Chairman. But again, we have all the documents here. If anybody wants to come and see them, Chairman, we'll arrange just to explain it to you after the meeting, Chair, okay?
Councillor Walker, are you looking?
Chair, item three is also jumping out at me, and we hear what the director has said, that this stems on from the old legacy councils. Now, I can't remember the old legacy council agreeing disposal of land at 29 Belfast Road. Now, I take it the 29 Belfast Road is the site where the leisure centre is supposed to be, or community centre is supposed to be.
No.
Well, that clears that up. That clears that up then. So it does. No, we actually thought that was the site where that's where the alarm bells would have been ringing.
Chairman, can I show you, Chairman? There is no official or senior overall member of any of the team, Chairman, will put a recommendation that has not got the full approval and sanction of the council. I'm looking at them here, Chairman. All the valuations are here, etc. So this has gone through all of the council. But we've got the maps here as well, Chair. So any of the members who are unsure about any of them, ask us after.
As long as it's not the community centre one. That's
absolutely not, Chairman. Absolutely not. Right. We'll sneak that in next time.
What's it?
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Walker, hit your button there for us, please. Councillor Hannah.
Sorry for coming in again, Chair. It's just, I'm not questioning the the officers or anything like that. All I think we need is more information given to the councillors, because, to be quite honest with you, a lot of that there, I just would like more information, not just a bit ahead of it, to be well.
Chairman, that's what we're saying. At all of the future meetings, we'll make sure that all of that information is there for all the councillors.
And we have a proposer and seconder.
Yes, we have.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to proceed on then, councillors. Item number 23, which is a motion. Motion tabled by Councillor Andrews. Councillor Andrews, can I ask you to move the motion, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to move the following motion.
Excuse me, sorry. Once again, councillors, please. Go ahead,
thank
Councillor
you very
Andrews.
Much, Chair. The terms of the motion is, we would like to extend a very warm invitation to Pope Francis to visit Newry, Mourne and Down District and during his time with us to follow in the footsteps of St Patrick, who landed near Saul in 432 AD at the very start of his mission to bring Christianity to Ireland. At the recent family conference in Philadelphia, it was announced that the next conference would take place in Dublin sometime in 2018. Speculation has been mounting that a papal visit to coincide with this event will be taking place. And I firmly believe that with so many connections and associations with Christianity, from when St Patrick landed near Saul, which is a few miles up the road, Gareth, you know it very well, which became the first site of his church in 432 AD, right through the millennia to the present day, that a formal invitation be extended to Pope Francis as head of the Vatican City State and Pontiff to visit Newry, Mourne and Down District Council. The last papal visit took place in September 1979, and with the presence of so many church dignitaries in Downpatrick around that time, hopes were rising that the late Pope John Paul would be coming to this part of the country, but due to circumstances at the time, this never happened, and with the associations of St Patrick, the nearest locations was in Dunlear, County Louth. I remember sitting on a hardback Ulster bus going down to Dunlear. We were practically hours in the bus, and it was a memorable time. And since those times, the world has changed in so many ways, more so in relationships between the islands of Great Britain, and colloquial will probably say it's not Great Britain, but to me, it's a term that I've used for years and will be using, and Ireland. Successive popes and the Queen have paid courtesy calls to each other, and for the first time since 1910, the Queen visited Dublin, and to myself personally, this visit, I was proud to see two heads of state standing side by side as their respective national anthems were played and accorded full honours of state. And especially through the reception that was accorded to Queen Elizabeth, and especially when she greeted President McAleese with a cardia, and that was so special. And all this made me so proud as an Ulster man and from such a small island that transcends its sides across the globe. In proposing this motion, extending the invitation to Pope Francis to visit our district, the main point is our association with Christianity. Right from the very beginning, when St Patrick landed near Saul, St Patrick planted the seeds with St Colm Kill, St Bridget, and so many more, which blossomed into his message, spreading through Britain to Europe, with his influence still going strong to this very day. And I must say, even Rowallan would be a very historical area too, because in my own home village of Crossgar, back in 1951, the late Dr. Paisley founded the Free Presbyterian Church, who are my neighbours, and across the heads from me, and good neighbours at that. We have our very own Camino, the St Patrick's Trail, tracing the very steps that Patrick took from our district right through to Armagh and beyond, and extending a warm, cordial invitation to Pope Francis to come to this most beautiful and significant part of the world, and join with so many in following the steps of St Patrick, and see for himself the many splendours of Newry, Mourne, Down and South Armagh on his way to Armagh City, and meet its many people, a diverse people of so many backgrounds and beliefs, and with those qualities that we have, we want to make sure that he feels very much at home in this part of the country, and I move that this motion be accepted.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. I'm just looking for lights lit up, sorry. Councillor Brown first, and then we'll come to yourself.
Thanks, Chair. I fully welcome the member's proposal here, and follow in the footsteps of my party colleagues in Belfast City Council, who have sent a similar invite to the Pope on his visit. I do feel that the poor Pope is going to be inundated with requests across Northern Ireland, and I'm afraid that I am going to add to that now, at the request of one of my colleagues, who you can probably guess who it is after I speak. I would like to add an amendment, if possible, to the members' motion that the Pope visit Kilbroony Park for an open-air event and or mass event. I think it would be suitable if he was to visit the north, where St. Patrick had his base, and was also to visit the south of the district on his trip. So just let the member take that on if he would like.
Okay, we'll come back to you at the end. Councillor Andrews, if that's okay. Councillor Emmerich, go ahead.
I'd like to second the amendment, and obviously Jarlath Tinley had to leave early here tonight, but I think it's an excellent suggestion from Jarlath that we should find somewhere like Kilbroony Park to host an open-air mass or some such venue, and be a fantastic opportunity to show off the district to the wider world. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Emmerich. Councillor Hardy, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I know that our parish priest was over in Rome, and when he talked to Pope Francis, he assured him he's coming across Midland, and he said if he had time, he would take a run down, but I'm not sure that he'd have the time as such. But look at either of the motions, we have no problem with them.
Thank you, Councillor. I have another red light somewhere, sorry.
Yeah.
Red light, Councillor Harvey, go ahead.
This motion of welcoming Pope Francis to Newry, Mourne and Down, being of the Reformed Protestant faith, a member of the Free Presbyterian Church and the Democratic Unionist Party, both formed by the Reverend Ian Paisley, I personally do not want to put my name on the invitation or be on the welcoming committee for this visit. This, however, does not mean that I will be opposing it in any way, and always welcome any visitor to our area, especially when we are trying to promote tourism. And I think it is great that we have so much on our doorstep relating to St. Patrick, from his landing in 432 AD to his burial, and so close to where we are standing today. With utmost respect to all, I will not be supporting this motion here this evening, and I know you will all understand, but I fully accept the wishes of the people. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. Councillor Kern.
Very briefly, Madam Chairman, I don't know whether the motion was seconded or not. I would like to think that this is a very exciting motion when one looks into it and one hears what was said here this evening. Now, the reason for saying that it would highlight this area greatly, because, and its people very much so, because of the television coverage it would get all over the world to get out there, because most of the television that would cover this very important person. And I think, there's lots of ways to look at it from a Christian point of view and from, if you want to look from a commercial point of view like that there too as well. So taking them both into consideration, I would welcome this motion.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kern. Councillor Craig.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to say that I respect Councillor Andrews' views and certainly acknowledge his devotion to the Roman Catholic Church, and certainly I know that he's a very active member in his work for the church and leading trips to Lourdes and helping out in his church generally. I just wish that the people in my community showed as much devotion to his church, or to their church, as he does to his. And that would be a good thing if that happened. Now, I've already discussed with Councillor Andrews my fundamental theological differences with the teaching of his church, and I know Councillor Andrews understands that, and him and I are good friends, and so I know he doesn't take it as personal, neither should anyone here take anything I have to say as personal, since it's to do with my faith. While I respect Councillor Andrews' views and his desire to have the Pope to visit our district, if I was to welcome the Pope, that would be tantamount to me denying my faith, as I cannot accept the claims made by the Pope, who declares, since he declares himself to be the Vicar of Christ on earth, which is really against fundamental teaching of the faith that I believe. So this council chamber, I believe, is not a place for religious debate, and I don't wish to turn it into that. But nevertheless, as the motion has come before this committee, the only way I can state my case is to say where I stand on it. And that is just the position I'm putting forward to you just now. Chair, I could not welcome the Pope. I could not be in a line-up party welcoming the Pope to the district because of my faith. Okay.
Thank you for your comments, Councillor Craig. Councillor Taylor. Sorry.
Sorry, I thought there was someone before me there. Chair, I'm not going to support the motion, but I'm not going to vote against it either, because I do believe that in civil and religious liberty for everyone, and I do recognise that there is a substantial amount of people within the district who, you know, would welcome that Pope's presence. I personally won't be supporting the motion, but what I would ask a question is about, in terms of protocol for this type of visit, you know, surely, you know, we are part of the United Kingdom, and I'm sure that, you know, some discussions would have to take place with the likes of the Northern Ireland Executive and Her Majesty's Government before any decision to be made in terms of this. I'm not even sure, I think even the motion itself maybe is slightly premature, because I'm not sure that has the Pope's attendance definitely been confirmed.
I think it has been confirmed that he's coming to Ireland, but what locations he visits within that.
But I think, well, there may be other priorities, I would say, but certainly, you know, I won't be voting for it, but I won't be voting against it either, because I do recognise that there will be, you know, people within the district would welcome such a visit. But I just think that we do need to be careful with this, and certainly in terms of protocol, you know, we should be discussing such a visit with Her Majesty's Government and with the Northern Ireland Executive. So I would say to say that, okay?
Thank you, Councillor. Was there someone else, sorry, looking in?
Yeah.
Councillor Riley.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Madam Chair, this Pope is a man who has taken tremendous levels of abuse, you know, from the liberal metropolitan elite and the establishment. You know, the Pope said, it is God's dream for his beloved creation that marriage is to see marriage in, fulfilled in the loving union between a man and a woman. He said, a true meaning of the couple and human sexuality is between one man and one woman. He also stated that he would support laws that would ban gay marriage. On gay adoption, the Pope said, children need heterosexual parents. The differences between a man and a woman are fundamental and an integral part of being human. Only heterosexual marriage can ensure happiness. Only, Chairman, Madam Chair, I am entitled to have my
you
say.
You are, absolutely. But if only, you're just going to read out a theological
apart
from
being human, only
here?
Heterosexual marriage can ensure happiness and is essential for good parenting. Madam Chair, the parties in this chamber who are asking for the Pope to come here are the very parties who are going completely against the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. Councillor Andrews talks about St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a man who brought the gospel to this area. Now, the gospel clearly states, in many aspects of the gospel, what marriage is and what the homosexuality is and all these different things that the Pope... It's not a strange world we now live in. When an orange man from Kilkeel has more in common with the Pope than what the SDLP and Alliance and Sinn Féin do, Madam Chair. And do you know what I'm going to tell you, Madam Chair? The Pope, I will not be supporting this because this is a sham motion that is only designed to assuage and smooth the conscience of lapsed Catholics who call themselves Catholics but are nothing but heathens. Who just go with this metropolitan liberal agenda when it suits them, but when they're in here trying to act holy Joes, then they're looking the Pope to come. Madam Chair, it's a sham and it's a disgrace, and I certainly will be voting against it, and I'm asking for a recorded vote. It's daft that you can do what this 1 minute and then invite the Pope up here the next. You are hypocrites.
Okay.
Get used to it.
Thank you, Councillor.
You're either Catholics or you're hypocrites, and you are hypocrites, every last one of yous.
You
are rotten hypocrites.
Thank
at the
you,
same time for supporting the things
okay.
that you do. And the Alliance Party
going
on
enough.
About gay marriage and
enough.
Gay adoption, and then they want a mass at Kilbrona. Oh my goodness, I never
can
heard anything like it. Terry Andrews,
you
should be ashamed of yourself
comment.
To call
Councilor
yourself
Clark,
a Catholic
proceed,
and support
please.
What you do and your party along with
Clark. Go ahead.
Religion by Henry Riley.
Did you get a headline out of that, Henry?
It's not a la carte, but up there.
Sorry, Councillor Clark, please proceed. Councillor Riley, that's the end of it now.
All right, Chad.
Go ahead.
I don't know how you follow
Clark.
That, Ron. But I think that's my business, isn't it? But in regards to the Pope and the motion, I think it's well meant. The intentions are well meant. I think what impresses me about Pope Francis is, you know, the humility of the person, and the person who's looking to make strides, a very humble sort of background and an approach. And that's seen by the people, and we're talking about where he's going to go. I think the Pope will decide where he goes, and I imagine he'll be looking to visit areas of deprivation. He'll be visiting homeless shelters, he'll be visiting the poor, he'll be visiting the less well off. And I think that's what I would like him to see as well, where he makes a difference to the ordinary people's lives. We can all talk about where he can go and where he'll not go, but I think that's the most powerful message, is being with the less well off, being at their level and going into their communities. And I think that's the most powerful message from this Pope. And this Pope, I think, has been a revelation. People not even from the Catholic faith would recognise that. So I have no problem supporting the motion.
Go ahead.
I would just like to welcome the motion from Terry and seconded by Dermot Kern. And whilst people might have their own opinions and stuff, it would be nice if he is invited. And I know you say that maybe it's a bit premature, but if the invitation is extended to the gentleman to come along, it's much better than never have to have extended the invitation in the first place. And we're all very delighted to have tourism come to our district, but obviously, according to Councillor Harvey, it depends who that person is. So I don't agree with that. It should be for anybody to come to our district, and we should really welcome anybody to come to our district, day or night, all of the time, because we're here to welcome. You've stood here so often and said about opening our district to people. It should be to everybody. It should extend the hand to everybody. We don't mind who comes here. I certainly don't mind anybody of your faith coming here. And I certainly wouldn't like to think that I would stand here and say that I don't agree with him coming. So I'm not having a debate with you about it. I just want to say that I welcome the motion. And I think an invitation to be extended, whether or not it's accepted, because as Willie Clark says, he might have his own plans and his own agenda. But I think to extend the invitation is much better than never to have extended it in the first place.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor McKay.
Chair, yes, I will not be supporting this motion. Again, my faith does not allow me to do such a thing, coming from the Presbyterian Church. I have no issue with, if you're a Roman Catholic, certainly welcome the Pope, but I certainly cannot support that. I believe in a Christ who... But there's no mediator between God and man, and that's my faith, and I have to stand by that. And as I say, I don't want anybody thinking, you know, I'm down on the Roman Catholic. I have good Roman Catholic friends. I'm sure we have good friends in here. We get on reasonably well together, and that's why I want it to remain. But just that's my story, and I'm going to carry it through. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, Councillor Andrews, to sum up then. Sorry, Councillor Walker. Go ahead.
Chair, just on the issue, I understand where Councillor Andrews is coming from in relation to it. Like Councillor Taylor, I will not be supporting the motion, but I won't be voting against it. I don't agree with the Pope's preachings, and that is one of the reasons I will not be voting for the motion in that, but I understand why Councillor Andrews has brought this motion. He's a devout Catholic. He's a great attender at his church and that. And, you know, I've said in the past, if a lot more Roman Catholics were like Councillor Andrews, this place and this wee country would be a better place, so it would. To be honest, I've been a personal friend of Terry's for over 30 years and that. But because he brings a motion like this, the council doesn't mean to say that I'm going to stop talking to him. I respect this motion, but I'll not be voting for it.
Councillor, go ahead,
Glenn. Councillors, fellow colleagues, I belong to the same church as Henry, Christ Church in Kilkeel, the Church of Ireland. You're here. And Henry would hold slightly different views, he'd have stronger views than what I would have on it. To be quite honest with you, I don't have any problem with the Pope Francis. To be quite honest, I think he's a Christian gentleman, so it is his Christian ethics. But I will be adopting the same position as Billy. I will be abstaining, so well, thank you.
First of all, unfortunately, Patrick, in my summing up speech, I will be covering the terms of your amendment. And I would like to thank everybody tonight for their contributions. Sorry, what was that? Sorry,
go ahead, Councillor Andrews. I did ask him earlier, but I omitted Councillor Hannah. Go ahead.
Just with all due deference to the Chair, I did wait till Councillor Hannah finished, and Councillor Wan, I would not doorstep anybody, but I will leave it at that anyway. But I would like to thank everybody tonight for their debate. And I more or less say, you know, and appreciate very much people's points of views. And first of all, I'd like to let Henry know that my place is guaranteed as chief stoker with our nick down below. I'm not a rosy rattler or an ultra-real licker. In fact, I would consider doing my best. And on the point of that, in my duty as a councillor, I got a phone call one day from my cousin. He says, Terry, we're in a bit of a fix. My dad was in the part of a mixed marriage, and because of the hatred was shown towards him and his wife, he turned against religion and everything. And we want to know, could you come to the Rose Lawn and would you say a few words about my dad? So right enough, I went along, and the hymns he got was Elvis Presley, Jailhouse Rock, Johnny Cash, Hurtin', and then at the end of the day, Robbie Williams and the Angels, and a tribute. You know, and that's what it's all about. I don't put myself on the pedestal, far from it, because the further up you go, the further you fall. But, you know, I've listened to people's points of view, and I respect them, because the way I was brought up as a child was, you respect your neighbour's point of view, and even if you're not happy, you accept that. That's what a democracy is all about. And I hope it's not too distant future, Harry, I'll be away from tea on a Sunday night with you and to have a chat. And also to, you know, everybody tonight, you know, as I said, I think enough has been said. The invitation, as I said earlier on, extended right across the district from Crossgar, or from Saul, should I say, right through to Downpatrick, right through to Newry, and through Kilbroney, and to South Armagh, up to our friends in Sleaford, where St Patrick travelled to Ardwaha or Armagh. But again, I do hope that this motion is accepted, and that in relation to the protocol that David asked about, the protocol would be that this council will write to the Secretariat of State in Rome, advising that this invitation has been extended to them, and in due course, the protocol would go to the Foreign Office in London and to DFA in Dublin, along with consultation with the Northern Ireland Executive, that all departments of state would be consulted, as well as local authorities and local bodies, and that's the protocol in regarding the state visits that is prevalent in this part of the world. But again, as I say, finishing up, if this invitation is sent and accepted, Pope Francis on his visit, he'll be more than welcome to travel along the way of journey to St Patrick and maybe get us boys in and give slap the ears off us and say, boys, be good and behave yourselves. And again, as I say, I commend this motion to the House, and thank you very much again for all your points of view. And again, it was a good debate, and everybody had a chance to speak.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay, there's been a recorded vote called for.
Chairman, we've got the amendment first. First of all, Terry, there was an amendment earlier on. Are you willing just to accept that? No. So we'll have to put the amendment to the meeting first of all, Chairman.
Okay. So we're voting on the amendment then. Just for clarity, do you want to clarify the amendment, Councillor?
Well, at the end of the day, what I'll do is, to save any confusion, I will take the terms of the amendment in the spirit which was intended. But Kilbroney is on the route there, so as I say, at the end of the day, it's district wide, so we'll go ahead with
it. So you're accepting the amendment then, yes?
Chairman, can we make it very clear, Chairman, then the proposal has an addition to it, but Eileen can read it out.
So what you're now being asked to vote on is that the Council would like to extend a warm invitation to Pope Francis to visit Newry Morne and Down District and during his time with us to follow in the footsteps of St Patrick, who landed near Saul in 432 AD at the very start of his mission to bring Christianity to Ireland, and that he visit Kilbroney Park during this time for an open air mass or event. Is that?
Okay, councillors, so there's been a recorded vote called for. So,
if everybody's in agreement with the, with that addition, which Terry is then.
Everyone's in agreement with the addition of the amendment. Sorry, councillors, excuse me. Can I have some order, please? Everyone's in agreement with the addition of the amendment. So we're going to put the amendment with the original motion to a recorded vote then.
Okay, Chair. Chair, for, against, or abstain, obviously, Chairman. And we've got Councillor Andrews.
Four.
Councillor Bailey.
Four.
Councillor Brown.
Four.
Councillor Burge is absent. Councillor Stephen Burns absent. Councillor Michael Clarke absent. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark absent. Councillor Willie Clark. Councillor Craig.
Yes.
Councillor Kern. Councillor Devlin absent. Councillor Donnelly. Councillor Dorn. Councillor Ennis. Councillor Enright. Councillor Fitzpatrick. Councillor Hanna. Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hurdy. Councillor Highland absent. Councillor Crimmins. Absent. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Loughran. Councillor McAteer. Councillor Kevin McAteer. Absent. Councillor McGrath. Absent. Councillor McKee. Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Mornion. Councillor Gribben. Councillor Murray. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Ruan. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Absent. Councillor Walker. Chairman, four against and four abstentions, Chairman. So the motion has been carried.
Okay, councillors. So moving on to item 24, it's a note of motion received from Councillor Riley. Councillor Riley, can I ask you to move the motion, please?
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. It's very self-explanatory. The mobility scheme has worked very, very well for Downpatrick and Newcastle, and I know that many people who have used the facility from the Newcastle Centre, where you can go in there and get the machine, that they thought that it would be advantageous to have us extend it to Kilkeel and Warren Point, and I just asked the council to investigate the possibility of doing that. If there is any financial cost, that we build it into next year's rates estimates. That's it, Madam Chair.
Okay, any contributions? Just before we do proceed, I'm unaware that there is a shop mobility scheme in Downpatrick. I know the council were engaged at one time with one in Newcastle on the proposal of Councillor Clark under the legacy structure, but there's nothing in Downpatrick. No, not that anyone in council has any knowledge of. Councillor Quinn, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would like to support this notice of motion in supporting that the shop mobility scheme be extended to Kilkeel and Warren Point and any other town that so requires it. Particularly when we are promoting ourselves as a tourism destination, mobility scooters are quite bulky to travel in a car with the rest of the luggage. So it's great to have this facility when we have visitors to our area, that they can go into our shops, restaurants, and leave a wee bit of the money behind for to benefit our own community. So I would fully support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hanna.
Chair, I'd like to second this motion. To be quite honest, I think it would be very beneficial, because if you actually watch around villages and towns, and especially towns, there's a lot of mobility scooters floating about. And what I have learned from speaking to people that actually use them, you have to do a bit of a test and one thing and another. So you have actually show you're capable of controlling them. The one thing there that, and speaking to them there, the council, maybe possibly Warren Point would be actually quite an ideal location, because they would have the town hall. To do shop mobility, you have to have facility or a location there to provide a place to keep the scooters. And to be quite honest with you, I think it'll help shopping, it'll help the infrastructure all round, so it'll help with tourism. It's just something I think the council should do. to make a big effort to help those that are in that position of needing mobility scooters. Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Clark.
Chair, I'd just like to ask Henry to maybe accept a small amendment, and that is to that we carry out an evaluation of the current provision within our district and the likes of Newcastle, which was, as I say, you said earlier, that a similar notice of motion I took to the Legacy Down Council. And it came about by demand from tourists who wanted to see the provision in Newcastle. So when they came down with their friends, they wouldn't be left out of going up the promenade, stroll up the promenade, or indeed going to a cafe and getting something to eat. You know, so I'm aware that it is successful, but I'm not 100% sure how successful. So I think it's important that the members all have a clear idea that there's different schemes. The one in your area, I think, to my understanding, is a private run scheme, and the other one was the cost and came from the Legacy Council, which was about 9,000, I think it was. You know, so there is cost implications, so we need to get all the facts and details together. I think it does, you know, it breaks social isolation for people out there and for the less able, you know, so I think it's an important scheme. And Councillor Glenn Hannes said it's a boost for tourism as well, you know, so I think it works stronger as well. It maybe gives the member a bit of time to maybe have discussions within the community about looking at a group, you know, to maybe focus on the shop mobility, because there's funding available through DRD for these schemes, you know, so it gives a bit of time for the council to carry out the evaluation, the amendment does, and then also at the same time it gives the local councillors up in the MRAs to have discussions about if there's people with a bit of time on their hands, you know, that could maybe coordinate this type of project. You know, I think it would work a lot better if you had volunteers, you know, supporting anything the council was trying to do. So, and that's why I want to add that amendment, if it's acceptable to Councillor Riley.
Okay, Councillor Walker.
Chair, on behalf of our party, we would also be supporting the motion, and I concur with a lot of things that Councillor Clark has said. Come back to our Legacy Council. Councillor Clark did bring the motion forward. We then took it through our disability working group. Myself, Councillor Clark, and Councillor Andrews sat in that disability working group. We got presentations in that, and I know some people from my own district that goes to Newcastle, and they're going to Newcastle more now because of it, because they can get a mobility scooter and go out and about. I also think maybe further down the line as well, you know, when we do get maybe the figures back from Newcastle, how successful it is, that maybe every other year we could maybe target a town. I'm going to say in my own electoral area, Ballinahinch, for example. You know, I'm not saying do it now, but further down the line, you know, Warren Point was mentioned, Kilkeel. We could start off with Kilkeel, then maybe Warren Point, and then maybe Ballinahinch, or major towns that we see as major towns, because it does encourage people into them bigger towns to do a bit of shopping, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, I've always believed, and I've even said it when Councillor Clark brought the motion forward to the Old Legacy Council, that it is a disability and an equality issue. So it is as well, you know, because people in the past were saying, and this is why I think Councillor Clark brought it to the Old Legacy Council, that people were saying that they found it difficult when they got to Newcastle, they couldn't get about, and that's why they weren't coming. So our party totally supports the motions before Council tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. And just to reiterate the fact that I agree with your, not so much formal proposal, but I agree with your assertion that in the long term, I'd love to see this rolled out to other towns across the district, particularly to Downpatrick. So if at any time in the future we do have that report and that cost analysis, I'd like to see other towns factored into consideration, the likes of Downpatrick, potentially Cross Maglen, and right across the district to extend it where practical and possible.
Sorry, Chair, can I just, a wee point of clarity. A mobility shared mobility scheme is not just about the electric scooters.
Sorry, there's an order here, Brian, and you're not next to speak, so unless it's a point of accuracy on the last point, I'll go to the next speaker and then I'll come back to you.
Chair, yes, now we as the Union Party would most definitely support this. Would be a sensible motion, no doubt. I think on the back of a lot of our towns now have the new environmental streetscapes, and most of our footpaths and walkways are designed in such a way they have ramps practically everywhere. It works well, the likes of bigger cities like Newry there, where there's so many shopping centres. There's maybe not just so many in the likes of Kilkeel, with most of our shopping would be on street shopping, and I know there would have to be a bit of work done there to the private shops who may not just have that access onto the property. But hopefully, if this was up and running, that maybe this is something that they themselves, obviously there should be advantages in it for them to make access more freely for wheelchairs or whatever, mobility scooters or whatever is required there. So I honestly think, Chairman, that this is worthy of support. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just a wee point of clarity. A shared mobility scheme is not just about the mobility scooters. It also includes wheelchairs and any other devices. The Zimmer walking frame for the wheels to allow people with mobility issues more freedom of movement. So it's a whole range of different pieces of equipment.
Okay, and I think that can be factored into the cost analysis in the report brought back to the Council, if agreeable by Councillor O'Reilly. There's another red light on somewhere, is there? Sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Just about to make a note here, but just more or less on a personal basis, Councillor Henry Reilly's motion, it is a very good one. It's very appropriate, you know, and as the chair of the former Diversity and Equality Working Group and the former Legacy Council, we as a group were very passionate about disability awareness and equality right across the board. And several years ago, Councillor Willie Clark and had a motion before Council, and there was a presentation, I think you were along at that group meeting, where people come in to extol the virtues of this. And I think it is very, very good. And as I say, I do encourage officers and councillors and relevant people to sort of way to go away and to check out exactly what we can do for the Lexical Kilmore Point. And as a previous speaker alluded to, this could be rolled out district-wide into other areas which have not got that scheme. But I do know myself, I've seen it firsthand, it is a godsend, and that it's more inclusiveness, that people of all arts and parts and of different circumstances with disabilities and normality can feel very much included in trying to live a life as normal as possible. So, and as on a personal basis, I do support the motion, and I'll be voting accordingly in favour of that.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Ryan.
Yeah, it's just in relation to Warren Fyfe, I've heard it mentioned a few times the other night. The practicalities of actually getting anybody around Warren Fyfe on one of these scooters is zero, because people can barely manage on wheelchairs or prams for that matter, because the curbways and the footpaths and drop curbs are sadly missing. So we would need to make it viable for those who use it at the moment, this moment in time, before we actually add to it. And I think it's not just as simple as calling for them to be provided. In the likes of the Butter Crane and the Key Shopping Centre in Newry, they were built and they can accommodate these scooters. The streets that we have do not accommodate them.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Councillor Riley. Are you red?
Hmm?
I've just got another contribution. Can we allow Councillor Annis, go ahead.
Thank you. I don't disagree with the premise of the motion. I have to agree with Councillor McRuan's comments. It's near impossible to push a pram around Warren Point, and in the cost analysis of this here, it would need to be taken into consideration the cost of parking enforcement to alleviate the problems of cars double parking where they shouldn't be and blocking those dip curbs for wheelchair access and for pram access as well. So that would need to be taken into consideration in any cost analysis.
Thank you, Councillor Ennis. Okay, Councillor O'Reilly, can I ask you to sum up?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, firstly, I would like to thank everybody for the supportive comments, and I would accept Councillor Clark's amendment, given that he has pioneered this in Newcastle. and as it has been pointed out, it is inequality, and it's also a commercial issue, because many of the older people in particular who would utilise these wheelchairs are actually pretty well-to-do people. I know they're prepared to pay their fee, they're prepared to go and do the training and the tests, whatever, to make sure that they're not going to be a liability and knock people over, whatever, anything. So they've actually indicated, you know, that they have a fairly sophisticated network right across Northern Ireland in many places. And it was them that suggested Kilkeel and Warren Point. But as has also been pointed out, it is an equality issue in that it offers disabled people the ability to fully participate in the commercial life of the town and to shop and that type of thing. So if everybody's in agreement with the amendment and the proposal, I'm happy enough, Madam Chair.
Okay.
I think if there was a small amount of money that would be needed to foster it, I would like to see that going on the rates. Maybe if Warren Point's not ready for it, if we can concentrate and Kilkeel, because we've been very fortunate, as Councillor Hannah has pointed out. You know, we did have that environmental improvement scheme, the public realm scheme, and our footpaths are excellent now and very capable of taking these types of things. So.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Okay, we have a seconder for the motion, didn't we? Seconder, yep. So the motion's been agreed. Don't really need a vote on it, do we?
I've accepted the amendment, yeah. Councillor McAteer. And we had a proposal in a second.
Yeah, so it's fine to proceed on.
Yes,
yep. Okay, we have had a table of an emergency motion this afternoon from Councillor Willie Clark. It will accord that we will need to suspend
standing orders.
Standing orders. So can I have a proposer and seconder to suspend standing orders proposed by Councillor Andrew?
We need a recorded vote for to get it approved, because you have to have it approved by 80% of those who are present, Chairperson. And voting. Sorry?
Yeah, we need to hear it first, but we need to take a proposer and seconder first to
you
suspend.
You have to suspend your standing orders
yep.
first, and you have to take a vote in that. You have to get 80% of those voting
yep.
to approve, Chairman. So we need to go to a recorded vote, Chairperson.
Standing orders have been suspended on the proposal of Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Brown. And Councillor Clark, if we can hear the motion in advance.
We need to take a vote
do
first.
Do we not
Chairman.
Need to hear it
no.
first, no.
No? You have to suspend orders to...
Oh, sorry, you need to take a vote separately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, we need to take a recorded vote then to suspend standing orders. My misunderstanding.
Just a proposal and second?
Yeah,
yep. Okay. Okay, Chair, this will be four against or abstain, Chairperson. Councillor Andrews?
Four.
Councillor Bailey?
Four.
Councillor Brown?
Four.
Four, sorry. Councillor Burgess, absent. Councillor Burns, absent. Councillor Carr, absent. Councillor Casey,
four.
Councillor Clark, absent. Councillor Willie Clark,
four.
Councillor Craig,
four.
Councillor Kern,
four.
Councillor Devlin, absent. Councillor Donnelly,
four.
Councillor Dorn,
four.
Councillor Ennis,
four.
Councillor Enright, go on, absent. Councillor Fitzpatrick,
four.
Councillor Hannah,
four.
Councillor Hart, Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hardy?
No.
Councillor Hyland? Absent. Councillor Kimmins? Absent. Councillor Largan?
No.
Councillor Loughran?
Yes.
Councillor Declan McAteer?
No.
Councillor Kevin McAteer? Absent. Councillor McGrath? Absent. Councillor McKee?
No.
Councillor McGrew? No. Councillor Mornion?
No.
Councillor Gribben?
No.
Councillor Murray? Councillor Quinn?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Four.
Councillor Wan?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Stokes?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tindley absent. Councillor Walker?
Four.
That's 34, Chairman, which we've got the 80% on more, Chairman. So go ahead, Chairman.
Okay, so can we hear the motion then, Councillor?
Thanks very much, Chair. The motion is this council is concerned that the impact of cuts to the tax credit system is much greater than the increase proposed in the minimum wage, which falls significantly short of the wage required for someone to have a decent standard of living. Furthermore, calls on the British Government Chancellor of the Exchequer to ensure that working households on low wages are not financially worse off following the introduction of the government's changes. And first of all, can I thank the members for the support. I think that really illustrates how important an issue this is to ordinary families in our community. Tax credits there's no doubt the cuts would have a devastating impact on our community. Many families are reliant on tax credits to top up their earnings. 120,000 homes in the north will lose between £900 and £1,000 per year. that's almost £20 a week, which is a significant amount of money when you consider that working families and people just above poverty are trying to clothe their families and provide food and a roof over their head, and some people pay mortgages, and they're on the edge, many people. Many people are in part-time employment, and the tax credit system, you know, it's not perfect, but it provides a safety net for the working poor. George Osborne will lower the threshold at which payments to working families start to reduce, and what they call taper. Currently, it's set at £6,420, and from April 2016, the threshold will reduce to £3,850. Not only will this have a devastating impact on families directly, it will have a damage to our local economy and local small business as well, by reducing the spend that is available. And it's widely recognised that those with the least amount of money have to spend what they have on the basic essentials that I've already outlined. I support, and Sinn Féin supports, a proper living wage to be introduced, and I support incentives, you know, for assisting families to break out of poverty and to get work to provide for their families. But I think the proposals from the Osborne is putting the cart before the horse to increase the living wage and assist small businesses is the way forward, and then citizens will be earning a good standard of living, and they won't meet the threshold for tax credits. So if they would up the wage for the living wage, people wouldn't qualify for the threshold set at present. You know, so I think that's where the focus should be, particularly looking at big multinationals and ensuring that they pay an adequate standard of living. And I suppose we've already witnessed in regards to the care package providers and about the health minister and that and discussions about it, it'll put pressures on their budgets. So it'll be interesting, is there an increase to the block grant will be coming to ensure that the minimum wage or the living wage is increased and services won't suffer because of that. So there's a lot of ambiguity in regards to some of the discussions that Osborne and them have been saying. I think there's a contradiction in the Tory position in regards to this. And I think they were very disingenuous before the election in Westminster, that they stated that the tax credits wouldn't be touched. They kept talking about the £12 billion would be cut off benefits, but they didn't clearly identify where that would come from. The one area they did was pensions, which is the biggest amount of benefits to be paid out, and because of an ageing population, that's continuing to increase. But there was no discussion in regards to where them savings would be made. We now see where they'd be made. They're from the working poor. They're from the ordinary people and people in this building on the lower threshold of wages who are going to face the cuts. It's the ordinary people on the street. You know, and as I say, 120,000 people are going to be impacted by this. And it'll actually drive people, basically to the wall. they're basically attacking, you know, people who are going out to work, and the Tory doctrine is continually talking about scroungers and people who are receiving benefits. And then when people do decide, I am going to get a job and I'm going to try my best, even if it's on a part-time basis, then basically the boot is put into the person and into that family. And I can't see it any other way. It's, you know, it's an attack on ordinary families trying to do the best for their family. And any reduction in income will devastate those families. They have to choose between, even at present, even before the cuts are coming in, they're continually with this struggle to choose between, you know, eating or heating their homes and providing, ensuring that their children won't suffer on a continual basis. And that's what people on the bread line continually have to do. When I'm getting near the end of the month, things are extremely tight at present, and for these cuts to come in now would just drive people into desperation. And I think that, and I'm conscious of time, sure. I think the main issue that I have in regards to this, the problem is the proposals for the cuts to families in Ireland. They're being introduced by a cabinet of millionaires. A cabinet of millionaires who have no, haven't got a clue what it's like to struggle to feed a family and clothe their family and keep a roof over their head. These are people who flew even in the House of Lords debate, even the people who would be seen as the upper classes have identified that this is a serious problem to the constituents in their area. And it is almost laughable, if it wasn't so serious, that you've got an elected body of people putting the boot into ordinary people, and you've got an unelected house trying to prevent it. And that's despite, again, Tory peers flying all over the world, millionaires again, to put the boot into the ordinary person trying to make a living for themselves. And as I say, you need to be providing incentives for people, and people are working hard. They need that helping hand to get by, and they don't need the boot on their throat to keep them down. And so I move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. I've got two red lights going, which is a bit unusual. Don't know how that's... Okay, we'll go with Councillor Walker first then, okay.
Chair, thank you very much. Well, our party will be supporting this emergency motion. I concur with a lot of things that has been said. When it went to Westminster and Parliament, the Conservative Party, there was a majority of 35. I'm happy to say that my party of 8 MPs voted against this. What does disappoint me is that we haven't been brought forward tonight by an abstentionist party. I believe that maybe if they were in Westminster fighting the cuts, because it's a reserved matter for Westminster, this, at the end of the day, that's where the cuts take place, whether it be welfare reform or whether it be working tax or child tax credits. The majority of that is a matter for Westminster. And I think if they're over there fighting with the rest of the parties from Northern Ireland that's there, you know, they would have a greater say in the matter. But I have to say, I'm glad that my members of Parliament, the 8 of them, voted down this. Now, it'd be through the 35 points, but I'm also glad to say that my peers from the DUP in the House of Lords also voted it down. I was disappointed that other Lords from Northern Ireland voted with the government on this issue, such as David Trimble and John Taylor and that. I was totally disappointed in that. Former UUP, but I was disappointed, and I thought they would have known better than that. And Councillor Clark is right. You know, might only sound like £20 a week, but £20 a week is a lot to people. So it is. You know, these are people that's willing to go out to work. Make no mistake about it. We need welfare reform, so we do, in certain areas. But these are people that's willing to get off their backside. Get off their backside and go out and work. And the Conservatives want to penalise them. Now, the attitude of these people are going to be, well, it's maybe cheaper to sit at home and claim benefits. Now, that's my belief, that if you take money away from the working class, they'll end up sitting at home and taking handouts left, right and centre. Now, I think that's what will happen. But our party supports the motion here tonight because when it comes to tax credits, we have to say enough is enough. And Councillor Clark's right. The people that's making decisions in the cabinet over there are multi-millionaires. So they haven't a clue what's going on the ground right across this whole United Kingdom.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Brown.
Thank you very much, Councillor Clark, for bringing this forward tonight. I fully respect and support the comments made in your motion. My mic is off. I hope everyone can hear me all right. I'd like to take the opportunity to formally second the motion, if possible, if Councillor Clark will accept. I think what we're seeing from the Tory government is pure deficit fetishism and an ideology that just wants to strip back the welfare state. Absolutely nothing. And it's completely hypocritical that they are cutting benefits to families that earn under £15,000 a year, yet decreasing the top rate of tax for those who earn over £150,000 a year. Just collaborating the fact that it is a cabinet run by a millionaire. Also, it's mainly vulnerable groups that are disadvantaged by these tax cuts. I think we all know that. Something that people all often miss is that 90% of child tax credits are actually paid to a woman. And I, for one, benefited greatly from child tax credits when I was going through school. I was lucky enough to go through school in the last Labour government. I am young, but not that young. And I was lucky enough to get EMA free school lunches, and my mother was able to support free children on child tax credits. Now, she has told me that she was doing that same thing today. She simply could not get by. And I know that I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't been growing up, so I feel very concerned for those who are going to miss out on it today. I'd also like to add that in the last term, Alliance Party was there to vote against welfare reform cuts that hurt the most vulnerable, and I would say it is disappointing that Sinn Féin, party ideology aside, can show up in Westminster for the most vulnerable.
Thank you, Councillor. If you can hit your light off for me, thank you. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, well, I was...
You were going to second the motion, yeah.
I was just going to reiterate just what Councillor Clark had said about tax creditism, although it wasn't part of the game, and it was topping up low-income families. Now, these cuts were devastating many households across there. I see myself working in primary schools. You know, the preschool leaves and the childcare that's made available through tax credits, and I can see the devastation that's going to come down the road and with these potential cuts. So I just my second motion.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Councillor McKay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say, first of all, I want to thank Councillor Clark for bringing the motion forward to Council, and I want to say that both myself and Councillor McKay will be supporting the motion as it stands before us. There are genuine concerns about tax credits. I understand that there has been some hard decisions to be made over the last 5 years as a consequence of the financial situation that the country's found itself in, but that there is a genuine belief that the tax credit issue is a step too far. It will hit the poorest families in our country and beyond and wider across the UK. And I do think actually that the Chancellor, and I do hope that he is seeing sense in this, and I know that the autumn statement's due to be announced later on this month, and I certainly hope whenever it is made that he will make an announcement that he has backtracked on this, because there is widespread anger and widespread concern about the impact this will have, and it will hit working families most. So I just want to say that we are more than happy to support this motion, and I also want to make it clear that tonight neither Lord Trimble nor John Taylor, Lord Kilcooney, are either members of the Ulster Unionist Party. So before I close, our party has expressed concern the same way other parties have, and we will continue with that position. So we're happy to support the motion as it stands.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, our party was in the motion and was supported. Suppose, Chair, I mean, the problem is this Tories, this thing they've done with wages, it really is only a penny to try and cover up what they're really at. I mean, and by that, in the last 5 years, which is a deficit caused not by working people, care too much about his own disadvantaged condition. He doesn't really care too much about a letter coming from the Green Lawn and the District Council. But nevertheless, we should write. At the moment, sadly, Chair, the only thing standing between us and the removal of tax credits is the unelected chamber in London. We're now dependent on the House of Lords to keep us from these cuts. And so it has been Northern Ireland, but Northern Ireland, Chair, as we know, has been much lower wages than the rest of the UK. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. And Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support the motion. And, you know, you can say that this is, it's not really relevant to Newry-Moore and Down Council because it's in the House of Commons and House of Lords, but it is. Because I was speaking to a businessman on Saturday, and he told me that by removing tax credits and putting that extra 120 or whatever it is per hour on his workers will actually put him out of business. And he said that losing the rates relief and the anticipated rises in rates next year, along with the additional wages that he'll have to pay to his three or four workers, who he openly admits are minimum wage, that it will definitely shut him down. He said he just will not be able to do it. So it is relevant to this chamber, and it is relevant to the Assembly that we do try and cut back as much spending while we're retraining frontline services as we can to take the burden off those people as well. But as has been pointed out, every single one of that Tory cabinet went to Eton or Westminster or Oxford or Cambridge, and they have absolutely nothing in common with the ordinary people. And, at the same time when they were considering taking tax credits off the working people, they put up the upper band of tax to 150,000, and they done away with inheritance tax for people who own houses over £1 million. You know, it's just such an injustice on the ordinary people that it should be opposed. And I'm glad that the DUP, I have to hand it to the DUP in this instance, they did go in and they fought very, very hard, and they made some excellent arguments. Dodds and their peers as well made some excellent arguments against us. So, thanks for bringing it forward and letting us have our view, but it is relevant to us as well. Thank you.
Councillor. Councillor Murray, are you looking back in, or is that your lighting system error? Okay. Councillor Clark, can I ask you to sum up then, please?
Very quickly, and I'd just like to thank everybody for their endorsement of the motion. And I think it does, it does illustrate how it cuts across all of our electorate, and our communities. And I welcome that support from all the parties. In regards to the abstentionist party, Sinn Féin, we proudly go to the electorate on that basis, that we won't be taking our seats in Westminster. There's no smoke and mirrors there. People fully understand where we're at in regards to that, and we are elected on that basis. I think Billy articulates the argument very well for the devolution of all taxpaying powers to be transferred to this island. The economic levers needs to be in the hands of local politicians in Ireland, in the north of Ireland here. We need to be in control of all our destiny in regards to tax and VAT. They're the powers that we need to take control. It wouldn't have made a difference if our MPs had been there anyway. This still would have been lost in the House of Commons anyway, so it doesn't even really stand up, your argument. You fought the great fight, but you've never won it. And you ended up with the House of Lords had installed this. You know, if the powers had been here in this island, had been in the Assembly, then it would have been stopped. And they're, at the very moment, they're in discussions in regards to the talks and Stormont. They are talking about the tax credits and how do we protect these people. And not just people in tax credits, people on benefits as well. You know, so it's important that the powers are transferred to our political institutions so we can take the decision, because we're in touch with the people on the ground. We know how people are suffering. And it's not to make a political argument. I just feel if you really want to represent your constituents, you need all the economic levers possible to do that. So I'd like to just thank people.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. So I think we're in broad agreement that that motion was generally accepted. Okay. Thank you for your cooperation, councillors, and safe home.
Thank you.